F-37s, the fighter jets, are still dropping bombs. These are our jets here in Britain. You know, do you feel that there is any change coming, or is this just, you know, just words? And also, you know, we do say we are a Christian country in this country. When we're talking about Islamophobia, it's a big talk, you know. Where are the Christian values of this country?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that this is a Christian country anymore. It used to be, but it's no longer. The legislation which is enacted by the British Parliament very often contradicts the principle of Christianity. Questions like abortion, gay marriage and so on, those are incompatible with Christianity. So the legislation of this country has become totally secular, totally, but sometimes unchristian. But David Lammy is a hypocrite because, of course, England, Britain is responsible for the fateful 1917 Balfour Declaration, which placed a very nuance and spoke of a national home, not the national home of the Jews in Palestine. It's been, but in reality, it has been, you know, how the snake put its head in to begin. So Britain should actually hang its head in shame. It's a responsibility. We should try to do the utmost to amend it. But once again, they're not talking. Christian principles, no, I don't think there is much of Christianity involved here. It is that we have a situation whereby the Zionist cabal blackmails and manipulates everybody, and that is very sad. But of course, there are people who, I mean, you know, in my modest way, I'm a member of a group called Campaign, and we act and demonstrate outside church houses in Westminster. I think I have a feeling you might have been there once. Yeah. So we try to do small actions of Christian resistance. And resist is the name of the game. We should resist in all possible ways. And this wonderful lady, Yasmin, she gives us a great example how to resist despite all the odds.
Absolutely. And resist we must, whatever our faith, whatever our skin color. It is the question of resistance in support of the truth. Thank you so much, Father, for honoring us with your presence. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
And thank you. Until next time, the artist Saif presents the sounds of Palestine. Goodbye.
Cause it's a rocky ride. Governments come and go, they rise and fall. It's we, the people, who should own the ball. Our determination is so strong. Tyrants tremble when we sing this song. Cause in our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians.
Palestinians.
We are waiting for the dawn of light. As voices echo through the night, from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free. Listen to the prayer of the people tonight, on the Savior to show them light. Rise up, it's time for you and I to shine, chanting free, free Palestine. Let's all rise to the occasion, ending Zionist occupation. Let's all ring the bells of freedom, chanting free, free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Oh, hear the cries
beneath the stars. There's no peace when there's no justice. Say it, free, free Palestine. Viva, viva Palestina. Hurra, hurra Palestine. Zendebad Palestine.
Free, free Palestine. Viva, viva Palestina. Hurra, hurra Palestine. Zendebad Palestine.
Zendebad Palestine. 'Cause we are waiting for the dawn of light as voices echo through the night. From the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free. We are waiting for the dawn of light as voices echo through the night. From the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free. Oh, Palestine.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. So nice to have you in this moment. Today is Tuesday, 15th of July, 2025, corresponding to 24th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 19th of Muharram 1447 on the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. We start off this hour's programs with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Next up will be our radio productions feature, and we round up this hour's programs with Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for this hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam treated all human beings to be equal in the matter of rights and responsibilities, and he did not fix any limit in this behalf of equality among all human beings. And if he did fix any such limits, it was fixed keeping in mind the interests of the public in general, the people. And when we study the character of Imam Ali, we clearly see that he did not violate this freedom, the freedom of the people, the freedom of the public, the freedom in any of his laws, orders, rules, or regulations, and he always kept the public welfare in his view, in all his actions. He dealt equal treatment to both his friends and his foes.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: خالط الناس مخالطة، إن متم معها بكوا عليكم، وإن عشتم حنوا إليكم.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "Meet people in such a manner that if you die, they should weep for you, and if you live, they should long for you."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we're talking about the various universal personality traits, if you will, of the commander of the believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam. These universal personality traits are such that even in the present day, we are able to implement them, we are able to learn from them, and we are able to apply them in our daily lives. I mean, truly, if you look throughout history and you look at all of the different, for example, philosophers or theologians or religious scholars of any religion or scientists or famous people, we do not find anybody like Imam Ali alayhi salam, or for that matter, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the infallible and immaculate divinely appointed imams alayhi salam, or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who have been able to transcend time and place, you know, where their teachings are still practical, their teachings are still available, and their teachings are still able to be implemented, you know, even after 1,000 years. I mean, really, this is a testament to the very special and unique status that these individuals have as compared to all of humanity. Now, one of the things that we have been humbly doing is talking about some of the nicknames and the alqab of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because first and foremost, many of us don't know these various nicknames of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And of course, if we do know these nicknames, then, you know, it is easier for us to be able to inculcate these things in our own personality, because they were a part of the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So one of the interesting alqab here, the nicknames, is retaining ear. And so it's really interesting here, we find that this nickname of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the retaining ear, is apparently because he retained and he kept intact all of the things that were revealed from the heavens to the Holy Prophet. And so in the Quran, there is a reference to this retaining ear in chapter number 69, verse number 12, that it says, "The retaining ear might retain it." And so when this holy verse was revealed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, it is reported that he said, "I have asked my Lord Allah to make this retaining ear to be the ear of Ali alayhi salam." And it's interesting that after this dua and this revelation of the holy verse, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, "I have never forgotten anything after this dua and supplication of the Holy Prophet,
even though it is still improper for me to forget, meaning I wouldn't forget anyways, but after this dua, it was like a seal was set, and I did not forget any of the things that the Holy Prophet taught. What a beautiful, you know, nickname indeed here. And for us as well, as we should try to retain as much of these teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt and the Messenger of Allah and the Holy Quran, peace and blessings upon them all, and implement them in our lives. A very thought-provoking lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The name of Shia that we carry for ourselves as a mark of identity is a blessed name. Understand its worth and value. This is a name given by Rasulullah to Ali and those who follow Ali. But let me talk about this name from a different perspective. Normally, we identify ourselves as Muslims. A Muslim is someone who follows Rasulullah. But we also say that a Muslim who believes Imam Ali to be the immediate successor of Rasul is a Shia. So we are Shia Muslim. This is how we identify ourselves. And the word Shia literally means follower. Shi'atu Ali, that was our full name. Gradually it became, you know, short form. Like when Rasulullah came to Medina in after the Hijrah, the name of that city from Yasrib changed to Madinatul Nabi, the city of the Prophet. But gradually people just started saying Medina, 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 and the last part was forgotten. Initially we were known as Shi'atu Ali, the followers of Ali. But gradually, because of the usage of the name, whenever you say Shia now, without even saying Shi'atu Ali, the scholars as well as the lay people know that it refers to the Shia of Ali. So you would look at these two names, Muslim and Shia. Is there any negativity about it? No. The first name, Muslim. All Muslims take pride in relating themselves to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, these days we have so many interfaith dialogue with Christians and Jewish people, and we say we are all three religions part of the Abrahamic faith: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Judaism started with Musa alayhi salam. Christianity started with Isa alayhi salam. When Quran came later on, you know, Quran talks about the dispute between the Ahl Kitab, between the Yahud and the Nasara. Some of them used to say, oh, Ibrahim is Yahudi. The other would say, no, Ibrahim is Nasrani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat in Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 67. He says, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا. Ibrahim came before Musa and Isa. He was not a Yahudi, nor was he a Nasrani. ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. Not a Muslim in the name of the follower of Rasul, rather somebody who submits himself in a true sense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim was not a Yahudi, neither a Nasrani, walakin kana hanifan musliman. He was a pure Muslim who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wama kana min al-mushrikeen. He was not from the mushrikeen. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave this name Muslim to Ibrahim.
For listening to this episode of the program To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast round the clock for listeners across the globe. The English channel of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting can be heard via shortwave, internet, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,710 kilohertz every day on 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in the Southern Africa can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 11,740 kilohertz every day on 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Iran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 1935, 6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means.
Thank you.
Behind the scenes of major political changes across different parts of the world, large-scale and lucrative economic plans are often designed by prominent theorists or individuals working in the shadows. These plans operate in a way that aligns colonial superpowers to sacrifice weaker nations and plunder their natural resources. This is part of the speech by Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, at the United Nations. It promises a grand and ambitious vision for the construction of a strategic corridor stretching from New Delhi to West Asia, a corridor that passes through the Israeli-occupied territories and reaches Europe. According to Netanyahu, this plan is to transform the lives of over 2 billion people.
This is the map I presented here last year. It's a map of a blessing. It shows Israel and its Arab partners forming a land bridge connecting Asia and Europe between the Indian Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea. Across this bridge, we will lay rail lines, energy pipelines, fiber optic cables, and this will serve the betterment of 2 billion people.
To implement and exploit this plan, major changes in the geopolitics of West Asia were underway, changes which were initiated by a devastating and destructive war and the displacement of millions in Palestine and Lebanon. Perhaps the answer to the question that many ask about why Israel is unwilling to end this war lies hidden within the secrets of grand economic schemes in cooperation with the world's superpowers. Transforming the lives of 2 billion people in other parts of the world at the cost of death, displacement, and the destruction of the homes of millions in the Middle East. The idea of connecting the Red Sea to the Mediterranean and ending Egypt's monopoly over maritime passage to the Suez Canal dates back to 1956 and the Suez Crisis. The proposed plan involves a route stretching 260 kilometers, ultimately connecting the Gulf of Aqaba and the port of Eilat to the Mediterranean by crossing the Negev Desert.
Prime Minister Ben-Gurion of Israel arrives at Princeton, New Jersey to call on Dr. Albert Einstein, one of the world's greatest scientists, the father of relativity and the man whose physics formula led the way to the atomic explosion, plays host to the leader who played a great part in the creation of the Israeli nation.
In a document recently declassified by the United States, dated 1963, Howard David Maccabee, an American specialist, proposed the idea of carrying out 520 nuclear explosions for deep excavation in the Negev Desert. This massive project became known as the Ben-Gurion Canal. In recent years, there have been rumors about the potential revival of this project. Based on the proposal, an estimated $100 billion would be required for the project's implementation, with an anticipated annual revenue of $10 billion from vessel transit fees.
The Ben-Gurion Canal was a wild proposal made in the 1960s to build a canal through Israel from the port of Eilat on the Red Sea all the way to the Mediterranean. The idea being to create an alternative route to Egypt's Suez Canal, which already connects them.
The general design of the Ben-Gurion Canal, from a technical perspective, is envisioned as a passage with a depth and width of 50 to 200 meters and rocky walls. This design has greater depth compared to the Suez Canal and requires less maintenance and repairs. Unlike the Suez Canal, this canal is planned to operate as a two-way passage for both directions. Incidents such as several cases of ships getting stuck and the blockage of the Suez Canal have once again brought up the issue of constructing and operationalizing the Ben-Gurion Canal. If the Zionist leaders succeed in implementing and operationalizing the Ben-Gurion Canal plan, many Arab and Islamic countries in the region will become directly dependent on this project. The potential commercial benefits of this plan will gradually place these countries in a difficult and limited position in future political discussions and negotiations regarding regional developments. Some political observers have linked Israel's efforts to make the Gaza Strip unlivable and to evacuate it with removing any obstacles or resistance to the implementation and exploitation of this plan.
But what is the Ben-Gurion Canal? Well, it aims to connect the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. The Gaza Strip gets in the way of all of this. If you look at the mapping, the proposed direction of the Ben-Gurion Canal from the Red Sea, from Eilat, it's kind of swerving away from the Gaza Strip. But it would be very convenient if Israel controlled the Gaza Strip and had the Ben-Gurion Canal flow through there.
Moreover, routing the canal through or even near the Gaza Strip would shorten the connection between the Red Sea and the Mediterranean, reducing the overall cost of the project. In fact, the initial plan for the canal involved passing it through the port of Ashkelon, located north of Gaza. However, with the implementation of a complex security plan involving the complete destruction of existing structures in the Gaza Strip and turning it into an uninhabitable area by Israel, the starting point of the canal has been selected near the northern part of Gaza. Oceanic trade in general and the remarkable economic growth of East and South Asian countries have garnered increased attention in Israeli circles. Considering the cordial relations between Israel and India, which have evolved into deep economic and commercial partnership since the 1990s, the idea of the India-Middle East-Europe corridor, whose memorandum of understanding was signed during the G20 summit in 2023, has attracted Israel's interest. Such a project could significantly impact China's mega initiative known as the One Belt, One Road, and its efforts to establish economic influence in West Asia. Strengthening the economy of the Persian Gulf Arab countries bloc and reducing the roles of Turkey and Iran in the regional economy is considered a favorable scenario from Israel's perspective. The potential establishment of the aforementioned corridor also aligns with diminishing the significance of the North-South corridor for these two countries. In November of 2020, rumors surfaced in the media about a secret and unannounced meeting between Netanyahu, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, and Mike Pompeo, the then U.S. Secretary of State, at the site of NOAM project under construction in northwest Saudi Arabia on the coast of the Red Sea.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu refused to discuss details of a landmark meeting with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia that reportedly took place over the weekend.
Well, I think there
high likelihood there was a meeting. Certainly it could be something that happened. The American ambassador Abbasad was with the foreign minister, and Pompeo was there. Maybe in another room, MBS, the crown prince, met with Bibi, with Pompeo. So, you know, I think it's just a dance. But this is all the going thought is this is a message.
4 years later, amid the Gaza war, during a Likud party gathering, a proposal was raised for establishing a Gaza al-Arish Deir al-Balah free trade zone, which strengthened speculations about linking this route to the Neom project and creating a commercial hub at the intersection of the Red Sea and the Mediterranean. Considering the proposal of the Ben-Gurion Canal, the idea of connecting these two projects and placing the Gaza Strip at their junction can also be envisioned. This could serve as an incentive for Arab countries such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to invest in the reconstruction and administration of Gaza in the manner desired by Israel once the conflicts subside. On the other hand, extending this plan to Al-Arish port in Egypt and the Sinai Desert could partially alleviate Egypt's concerns about the diminishing role of the Suez Canal in global trade. Given the relative insecurity in the Sinai Desert and Gaza, which has impacted Egypt's national security, this project could create an additional attraction for Egypt's allies.
It's their 2035 Gaza plan to rebuild Gaza into an Israeli version of Dubai. Well, look no further than the brand new Gaza 2035 plan, which Netanyahu unveiled this weekend. Great timing, too. He's like, hey, we're about to destroy Rafah, totally eliminate about 1 million people. Here's a 9-page PDF for our plan. This is what we plan to do in Gaza, which is perfect. It's like a, you know, we want to build our own Dubai in Gaza. Perfect timing. So take a look at this. This is the new Israel 2035 plan for Gaza. Look how beautiful that will look once they rebuild it and kick all of those, all those dirty Palestinians out of there. Mm-hmm. And they'll build new rail infrastructure, new port infrastructure. It'll be easy access to all of that oil. And they'll be able to get all of this into the Middle East economy. So a place so devoid of Palestinians, of course, as they describe it. They describe it as a future where Gaza is de-radicalized from Islamism, transformed into a trade hub of prosperity and innovation, and integrated into the Middle East economy. So a place totally devoid of Palestinians, of course. According to the Jerusalem Post, it's almost like they had this plan for a while, right? I mean, seems like they probably already had this whole thing mapped out a long time ago.
Beyond the issue of building a major corridor for the transportation of goods and energy, Israel is also seeking, in its midterm vision, to achieve secure and local energy resources. Israel's reliance on fossil fuels, reflected in the annual import of billions of dollars worth of oil from countries such as Azerbaijan, Brazil, Kazakhstan, and Nigeria, has led its government to make serious efforts toward attaining new and affordable energy sources.
Northernmost point of Israel's coast, its Mediterranean coast, but then a stone's throw away, you have that Hezbollah presence. What a contrast.
The story here is the big, huge gas, natural gas reservoir in the eastern basin of the Mediterranean. As you probably know, there has been huge discovering of amount of gas offshore Israel.
Yeah.
One of the sections, called Field Number 9, is a controversial area between Israel and Lebanon, where both sides claims to have larger parts of that specific field.
The vast gas reserves along the East Mediterranean coast, a significant portion of which are located in Lebanese waters and near the shores of occupied Palestinian territories, are an attractive option for Israel. In fact, for years now, Tel Aviv has been pursuing efforts to explore and extract gas reservoirs in the waters off the eastern Mediterranean.
Their shared maritime border in the eastern Mediterranean, it's a contested area where Israel has already found hydrocarbons that can be exploited commercially, and where Lebanon is hoping to explore for natural gas.
After the discovery of the Tamar gas field in 2009, the issue of the dispute between Israel and Lebanon regarding the delineation of ownership boundaries and adjacent waters also was raised. The judgment on this matter was entrusted to UN experts to resolve the conflict.
I would like to clarify that the Karish gas field is not disputed, and it has never been. It wasn't even within the line that Lebanon submitted to the UN, which Israel did not agree to. It is not negotiable in any way. It is an Israeli gas field, an Israeli strategic asset. It's a shame. This is not constructive. I suggest that the Lebanese negotiation team proceeds with the talks. After all, it is a civilian economic issue. They should understand that and take better care of their civilians. The state of Israel has been systematically protecting its assets. The Israeli security forces are prepared for any scenario.
Israeli officials have long coveted the Lebanese section of this gas field, which is known as the Qana and Karish fields.
The first look at Israel's new off-sea gas platform. The Karish gas field is being hailed as a revolutionary development for Israel's energy production sector, and plans exist to export its gas to help ease the global energy crisis. But the site has also become a target for cross-border threats from within Israel's northern neighbor.
The efforts to incite war and weaken Hezbollah's defensive capabilities, along with the Lebanese army's strong dependency on Western countries, are also aimed at ensuring the security of the new platforms that are planned to be built in the Karish gas field in the future.
Only recently, Israel imported its energy from around the world. For the energy minister, the course is clear. Thanks to gas, the country will not only soon be energy independent, but a net gas exporter.
Currently, with the discovery of the Gaza Marine ore and NOAA oil in gas fields and waters near Gaza, the importance of security in this region has increased for Israel.
That there are two gas fields under the Gaza Strip. Gaza Marine 1 and Gaza Marine 2. They were found in 1999, nearly 25 years ago. In 2000, the Palestinian Authority, that was one of the organizations that participated in this secret meeting in Geneva, they requested British Gas explore what they thought was under the Gaza Strip. And British Gas identified a 30 billion cubic meter of gas reserves under the Gaza Strip.
Initial searches for oil and gas resources in the waters near the Gaza Strip were conducted in the late 1990s by the British company BBG, leading to the discovery of the large Gaza Marine gas field located 17 to 21 nautical miles off the Gaza coast. According to the second Oslo Accord, signed in 1995, ownership of the Gaza Marine gas field was granted to the Palestinian Authority.
The problem is that Israel has not signed any related convention so far, including, and this is the most important, the Convention of the Law of the Sea. Israel is out of the international community's rules.
In 2000, a 25-year contract was signed between the Palestinian Authority and the BBG company, which led to the development of exploration activities. It was estimated the Gaza Marine gas field contained over 1.4 trillion cubic feet of extractable natural gas, which could have served as a solid economic foundation for the Palestinian Authority.
This is just one of the many reserves of fossil fuels that are in Israel, in the occupied territory of Palestine, and in international waters. Now, in 2019, the UN released a report on these fuels, stating that they were valued at $524 billion. Now, that's half a trillion in 2019 money. Under no circumstances would a Netanyahu government allow for Palestine to exploit.
Israel's illegal occupying actions regarding energy resources and waters near Gaza reflect the long-term ambitions of this regime to access the energy resources of the Mediterranean and Gaza. These actions are carried out with the aim of imposing its policies and objectives on Palestine and Lebanon through the use of force and military power.
But if it's gas and oil, and they have a canal that's making them, could be, tens of billions of dollars profit per year, 50 billion barrels of oil under the Gaza Strip. And the strategy for the Israelis, they've said this.
One of the main reasons for the recent war and the forced displacement of Gaza Strip residents to a small area in the southern part of this region is Israel's fixation on Gaza's vast gas reserves. Following complete occupation and removal of any obstacles and resistance in this area, Israel aims to securely seize all the fossil reserves along the Gaza coast for its own benefit.
Things that I've said, no, they don't mean nothing at all. Time just flies by when I'm with the one I love. Even sunlight makes it through the dark in a cold, misty sky. Now still haven't made a sound. Some folks are dying to live, and others live to die. Somehow when I think of you, I smile deep inside. No matter what the world brings, and even if the birds won't sing, better times are on their way, cause I know you're there. And even if the sun won't smile, it's been a while since I felt any light, but I know you're there. The grass was greener on the other side. The world just gray now, but we out of time. And when I lie alone and stare into the dark, I remember what you said. I watched the stars spark. I know you're right here by my side. No matter what the world brings, and even if the birds won't sing, better times are on their way, cause I know you're there. And even if the sun won't smile, I know it's been a while since I felt any light, but I know you're there. No matter what the world brings, and even if the birds on their way, cause I know you're there. Oh, and even if the sun won't smile, I know it's been a while since I felt any light, but I know you're there.
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام. السلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم to our dear listeners. All right, so welcome to this next episode of Let's Recite the Quran. We'll be reciting, inshallah, verse number 17 of Surah Al-Fajr, from verse number 17 of Surah Al-Fajr until wherever we can get, inshallah. Again, I have with me in the studio Brother Ali, Brother Hassan, Brother Hussein, and Brother Masoom, and inshallah we'll try our best to recite 4 verses each, making it 16 verses in total, inshallah. So Brother Ali, I'll kindly ask you to recite, please recite verse number 17 onwards for us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما.
At the beginning of your recitation, I think you prolonged the metaphor كلا. It's not كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. That's not correct. It's a normal alif. It's a short count, a short mad. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Just like the other mads, the normal mads, you have to give the same count and keep the counts consistent among them. But if you're doing waqf, you might give one extra count, because then remember, whenever there is waqf on mad, you can give it a little bit of extra. كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. And remember this waqf sound here. What waqf do you see in your copy of the Qur'an?
Sila.
Sila or Sala. So what does this mean?
Better to continue.
It's better to continue, but you can stop. It's allowed for you to stop. Mm-hmm. Preferential to continue, inshallah. كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. And the second med, وَلَا تَحَا, you did it correctly, but I'm just pointing out the importance of it. This one is, you can extend it to 6 beats, it's up to you, or you can keep it to 4 beats or 4 counts, it's up to you. It's an optional extension. But remember, whatever you choose, you have to be consistent in all the other meds that are similar to this. وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And that was a recitation of verse number 17, 18, 19, and 20 by Brother Ali.
كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ.
No, but you do not honor the orphan.
وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ.
And you do not encourage one another to feed the poor. And you consume inheritance, devouring it all together. And you love wealth with immense love.
I'll ask my brother Hassan now to kindly recite from verse number 21 of Surah Al-Fajr, Surah number 89.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka wa jaa rabbuka wal malaku saffan saffa wa jiyan yawma idhin bi jahannam yawma idhin yatazakkaru al insanu wa anna lahu adh-dhikra. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي.
MashaAllah, beautiful recitation. Just a few points I'd like to point out about your recitation. I'll go from the bottom top. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي, is that correct? Take a keen look at the Qur'an and see whether it says يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي or يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي.
I think it's يَقُولُ.
There is a waw after lam, so there is no mad, right? So it's يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. So be careful when you're extending. If it's a vowel, only a vowel, there is no mad. There is no extension to that. But if you have a mad, that's when you do the extension. Now going back, a few other points. وجيء يومئذ بجهنم. The extension over here again optional because it's a med that comes before Hamza. Hamza is a letter that does a very stop and a very abrupt stop, in your recitation. وجيء. And try your best, because there is also yawma idhim afterwards. Why? Because when there is ya and then you say wajiya yawma, there is no pronunciation of hamza here. It's as if there is two ya next to each other. Wajiya yawma. You see that? It's as if there are two ya's. It's a hamza there. Wajiya yawma. Make sure that hamza, that breaking point of hamza, is completely clear in your recitation. وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمٍ. And going back again, وَجَاءَ. Same thing with the Hamza. وَجَاءَ. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And in the first verse you recited, كَلَّا. Right? Over here, you can do a long extension or a short extension again, because it's optional for you. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا. Right? Again, the same point we had with Brother Ali. كلا here has a صلاه or صلاه stop, which means what, Brother Hassan?
Better to continue.
And when you're continuing and you're doing the well, and when you're continuing, you have to try your best to be consistent in your med. If you're doing the long med, keep doing the long med for all the hamza, all the meds that come before the hamza. Kalla idha dukkatil. Right? That was a recitation of verses number 21 to 24 by Brother Hassan.
Kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka.
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded, and crushed.
وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا.
And your Lord has come, and the angels rank upon rank.
وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمَ. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّى لَهُ الذِّكْرَى.
And brought within view that day is hell. That day man will remember. But what good to him will be the remembrance? He will say, oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life.
I'll kindly ask Brother Hussein to recite from verse number 25 of Surah Al-Fajr for us, please.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية.
أحسنتم. A beautiful recitation. Again, the consistency in the med, keep in mind. For example, when you're reciting فَيَوْمَئِذِ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ, if you're extending to six, keep it to six in all the other meds. If you're doing for four, then keep it to four counts for all the other meds. The consistency is a bit important. Why I'm saying consistency is important? Because there are certain meds that are compulsory to be extended. And those meds, if you're not consistent, it will be confusing whether what you're reciting is one that you're extending necessarily or optionally, right? So keep the consistency as much as you can. وَلَا يُثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ. You did the qalqala very good. I'm just saying this for the listeners to keep in mind. أَحَدٍ, the echo sound at the end for the qalqala. Yeah, remember you did the extension over here. That's why I said, since you're doing extension over here, do the extensions for the previous meds as well. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Over here is another qalqala. Keep in mind, it's a mutma'inna. I've heard this a lot in the recitations. Mutma'inna. Over here, you're not know whether it's qaf, ba, or what letter is being recited. Mutma'inna. If you do qalqala, it's going to be much more clear. مطمئنة. And finally, irji'i ila. Remember, this is aliful sakin at the beginning. Irji'i or aliful wasl. If you are continuing, how would you recite that, brother Hussein? If you're connecting the two verses, verse number 27 and 28, how would you recite it?